Welcome into a special live Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Go follow both of them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975. On today's episode, the Astros are gasping towards the finish line. They have done enough to be mathematically still in it, but they need some help to eke into the postseason. We'll discuss how they got here, what they'll need to do to extend their playoff streak or playoff appearance streak, and weigh in on one hot button topic in particular. Before all that, I saw a comment in our last video that said they were going to miss us during the offseason. I appreciate that, but we're not going anywhere. Our intention is to keep doing weekly episodes as best we can, and we'll do emergency episodes as breaking news happens. But there's still more games left to be played this season, so let's get to that. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Coming out of the Mariners series, look, things looked grim, but Houston still was in somewhat control of their destiny. But as has been the case all season long, their offense just continues to be bipolar, scoring just one run over their first two games in Sacramento before exploding for 11 in the finale. Before we go big picture, let's start with a postmortem of the A series. Charlie, what were your takeaways?
Two games of utter impotence offensively, which if in the end the Astros are going to miss the playoffs, was appropriate that it was the foremost element of their demise the final week. Right? The A's pitching staff is not good. Luis Severino's earned run average at home for the season was 651 before he just absolutely dominated the Astros in his start. So as you mentioned, a big one, and then Hunter Brown on the mound, which meant it was more than 50-50, they'd score zero. Four of Hunter Brown's last seven starts, the Astros were shut out. Another one, they scored one run. So the ace could sue for non-support. Bad offense, bad two out of three, which got them to 81 games. So if they go score 15 runs in each game in Anaheim against the Angels, the Astros will finish with fully half their games this season. 81 times. They scored three or fewer runs all last season, just 67 times. And earlier in the year, credit for pulling it off as often as they did. But it was luck. It was the randomness of these things that they somehow were 19 and 27 at one point, which is an unbelievably awesome record when scoring three or fewer runs. Well, since then, in games scoring three and fewer runs, 3 and 32, because the pitching faded badly over the second half of the season. The offense didn't fade badly. It was never good over a long haul stretch of the season, including when they went 29 and 10. It was magnificent pitching that carried that stretch.
No doubt. I mean, it's hard to win a series when you only score one run in the first two games of the series. So same old stuff. And what's even more disappointing is in the final two games against the Mariners with their terrific pitching, you managed to get four runs and three runs, but you go against the A's and you can only get one run over those first two. And then kind of felt like a getaway day for the A's. Their season's already over. This was the finale of the series. It feels like how the Astros just kind of rolled it out during the regular season on a lot of those, you know, day game after night game finales where you saw a lineup where you're like, Espada thinks they can win with this lineup. But anyway, doesn't matter. Astros needed to get it together, get it done. And it didn't happen clearly. So now things get really difficult. But they had a lot of opportunities, guys. It's just, it's not happening. And the injuries, and it's the same guys letting you down. I know they blew up and had a big game in the finale, but too little too late, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, game one, we saw the old bugaboo of the bases loaded, and you score one run. I mean, just how many times? It's just been a lot of, as you said, the same old suspects. And some of those suspects came over in trade. One of those being Jesus Sanchez, which his game two of this series was just bobbling, and gaffes in the outfield were just atrocious. Chandler Room was asked on Thursday when Jesus Sanchez got lifted for Cam Smith. He was asked on X, is the Jesus Sanchez experiment over with? To which Chandler replied, it's reaching a point where they may not be able to afford to play him in any capacity. Now, Sanchez wasn't a great hitter before joining Houston, but he's been an absolute disaster since arriving. And I think it's clearly in his head, as seen by the fielding gaffes. When Dana Brown traded for him, he said they were going to work with him to lift the ball more, try to maximize home runs. And now we see him swing wildly these uppercut swings at pitches. So I want to ask you guys, how much of this do you feel like is his regression is him trying to tweak mechanics midway through the season? And how much is this just maybe a player cracking under the pressure of actually having to play some games that matter?
I do think when it goes bad, it can go worse. The old Yogi Berra quote, 90% of this game is half mental. Jesus Sanchez looked like a mental case on the field. He could not get wrong right. I think it was last week I said rather than a baseball glove, it sometimes looks like he's wearing an oven mitt. And then he has the game that you reference where, my God, is the ball greased when it goes to Jesus Sanchez? Sub-200 batting average, sub-600 OPS. Hey, at the point of acquisition, that was a solid get. Ryan Gusto was not a devastating loss to the Astros rotation. Sanchez was an over 800 OPS guy against right-handed pitching, right? The Astros with no left-handed hitters of any consequence at all in Yordan's absence. So good intentions, solid acquisition, epic failure. And you use the word or borrowed the word, Brandon, afford. Jesus Sanchez under team control, which looked promising for next year, I think they're going to dump him rather than pay him an arbitration salary of $6-7 million, which in part is the Astros' economic situation, their budgetary issues, if they're going to play the CBT dance in the offseason again. And they're probably overreacting to 15, 20 good at-bats from Zach Cole, who already is showing the big strikeout problems that he's had throughout his minor league career. The raw power, awesome. He's a 249 career minor league hitter. So just to say, oh, look at this young guy. Also not that young as prospects go, 25 years old. So cruelly ironic that they get Sanchez hoping to get him to elevate the ball more and maximize the natural power that he has. Hello, everyone. My name is Cam Smith. Big problems elevating the ball, all his raw power. Goes 150 at-bats without a home run, only 9 home runs for the season. But Cam Smith's 22 years old. He's not 27 years old. And he was not acquired to fortify the lineup midseason. So while it's a colossal failure in how it's played out, Dana Brown did not make a stupid trade in acquiring Jesus Sanchez. But I think his overall Astros tenure, don't blink this weekend or you'll miss the rest of it.
Yeah, I think the only thing, if we're kind of looking back, you know, Dana did trade away a starting pitcher, and I know he hasn't been very good since he went over to the Marlins, but now that we know how many injuries they have, and we have Jason Alexander pitching the game tomorrow, or gets the Angels in the opener there. So I know he hadn't been very good, but you did trade away something where we were all saying, did they need to add pitching? Did they need to add pitching? But, you know, hindsight 2020, to me, it's more about maybe it is the tweaking of the mechanics. Do you guys remember the opener of the A series? How many pop-ups did the Astros hit in that game? There must be something to where they're trying to really get these guys to elevate the ball, and clearly it's not working because they'll go out there and swing at the first pitch or two and pop up to the shortstop. They do it all the time. So I think there's something to it, but we have to look at the drastic difference. Going into today's game, Sanchez's numbers with the Marlins, 256 batting average. With the Astros, 194. His OPS has slipped from 740 to 599. I mean, that is just a massive difference, but it's not just him, guys. And this is over like 45 games, too. This isn't a tiny sample size, but it's not just him. This is something with the organization, because we see it with Christian Walker. His OPS last year, 803. This year going into the game, 695. And even Arias, his batting average has dropped from about 250 to 232. It's across the board. Correa, we talked about it last week. Correa is really the only one that's shown some improvement coming back to the Astros or coming over to the Astros. So, yeah, especially if they miss the playoffs, this has to be addressed. And I know everybody gets upset, like, oh, the Astros hitting coaches showed up for the finale against the A's. It may not be them, but there's something going on to where all these guys come over here and they don't perform to the level they played with other ball clubs. And yet with pitching, guys usually improve when they come here. They need to take a hard look at why that is.
Well, let's remember that Correa has been better with the Astros than he was with the Twins. He was terrible with the Twins. Right at the point of the acquisitions, Correa had the worst statistics among him, Urias, and Sanchez. So he almost had no place to go but up. And he's been all right, but his biggest stretch of damage was the first 9 games. Since then, which is about 40 games, his OPS is right about 700, which is the mediocre line or slightly below. Altuve, you know, he's not going to wind up a 300 career hitter. And he's in the 260s, 265 going into the Angels series. And he's not a high walk guy to be batting first or third almost every game. His on base percentage in the 320s. That's not what you want from a table setter. And anytime this subject comes up, Pinata swinger Yiner Diaz, he's sitting on 20 walks in way over 500 plate appearances with three games to go in the season. 20 on base percentage, about 280. That's a joke. He's drawn one walk in his last 85 at bats. That's a joke. You don't get traffic on the bases. You better hit with a lot of power. You're not going to string together three, four hits at a time. The Astros have been a poor power team. It's just been a well-rounded offense, a well-rounded bad offense. Decent batting average, but on-base percentage, no. Slugging percentage, so, no. And the big one, scoring runs, no. Bottom third of the league virtually the entire season. And the offense sucked is probably the lead line on the epitaph if they indeed miss the postseason.
Jeremy Pena had issues lifting the ball for multiple seasons. And his breakthrough season came after he gave credit to Carlos Correa working with him in the offseason. And speaking of Correa, I know a 700 OPS may not be impressive, but he's hitting doubles, one of the few consistent producers. I know that the bar is not high, but they've quite frankly needed every bit of production that he's been able to give them. How much credit should Isak Paredes get being able to produce on one leg the way he is? I mean, he's producing better on one leg than most of those guys are producing an able body. Charlie, it's interesting. You said that Sanchez was a solid acquisition at the time that just didn't work out. We said the same thing about Christian Walker. You know, when we got him, it was like, okay, that's a pretty good get. And then just for him to just spiral, there's a big debate on social media right now among fans, whether the faltering at the end of the season is due to the abundance of injuries. Some have taken aim acutely at the compounding organizational failures, those decisions that didn't go right. Now, we know the answer lies somewhere in the middle, but I don't think it's perfectly in the middle. So if it's a spectrum of blame, does the needle tilt more towards the expansive roster of guys sitting on the IL or more towards the culmination of front office decision-making that finds Houston fighting for a wild card berth?
Yordan playing fewer than 50 games, an absolutely massive blow. On the pitching side, the sheer volume of injuries was incredible, but the Astros don't hold the patent on that. And as I talked about earlier in the week, go look at how many pitching staffs had their top two starters healthy the entire season. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, 31 starts apiece. They never missed. Just take the Dodgers as an example. 12th division title in 13 years. Blake Snell, about 10 starts. Tyler Glasnow missed 2 months. Otani didn't pitch until the last 2 months. The big acquisition, Roky Suzuki's hardly pitched for them. Kershaw didn't start his season until basically the All-Star break. And we can take other teams. The other day I mentioned Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a pitch for the Yankees. Look at the Rangers staff. The loss of Hader absolutely trickled down the depth factor in the bullpen. But you know what? Abreu blew that game in Toronto. That's the only other game all year other than the one Hader gave up that the Astros lost when they took a lead to the ninth inning. They just haven't been good enough. The offense has not been good enough. Yordan Alvarez obviously is a premier player, but it shouldn't buckle the whole offense. The cumulative toll, you know, that Kyle Tucker guy, pretty good. Even missing a third of last season, compare his output to the combined putrid output of Cam Smith with his complete collapse the last 3 months, not even hitting 150. Cooper Hummel, Taylor Trammell, Jacob Melton, at-bats for Mauricio Dubon. And I feel like I'm forgetting at least one other guy who doesn't really belong in a major league lineup, certainly not getting 100-plus plate appearances. And then Yiner Diaz becoming a bad offensive player this season. You referenced Christian Walker, a huge disappointment. The loss of Paredes, sure, substantial. Well, Alex Bregman missed about the same time for the Red Sox. Bregman, by the way, hitting about 180 the last 30 games for Boston. But the Astros just decrepit farm system that they really had no one warranting call up. I mean, Bryce Matthews had two really good games in Arizona. That's it. Zach Cole, out of utter desperation, gets a call up, has the monster game in Atlanta. but you're just throwing darts and hoping you find the board when you're making moves like those. I mean, in game 159, the finale, and hey, they scored 11 runs. Framber Valdez re-entered the ranks of the competent. But in game 159, Joe Espada puts Trammell and Urias in the lineup out of utter desperation and or despair that it worked out. Didn't mean it was managerial genius, but he's like, what else could I try?
It's true. And you're right, Charlie, about having Hunter and Framber all year and how that's, you know, a benefit, obviously, for the Astros. But who's been in Fromber's body for August and September? He hadn't pitched like Framber. He's pitched like a guy that you just pulled up out of the minors for the past couple months. I know he had the good outing in the finale, but overall, they have just not been able to win ball games with him on the mound for the past 2 months. That has absolutely killed you, because that's something that you were counting on. And Jason Alexander is your third starter, and Christian Javier is a coin flip whether he's going to have a good game or not. They're in a tough spot, and I don't know who you want to blame it on or what have you, but they've been a different team basically in the second half, and a lot of it's injuries. We can't get around that. You lose Paredes for that big a chunk of time, Yordan, and then Pena, your most important games of the season. You don't have Jeremy Pena. He's been your best player, especially your best all-around player, defense and speed and all that kind of stuff. So, and we talked about this in the last video. We're like, Pena's not sitting against, you know, the Mariners unless there's something to this injury, and here we are. We haven't seen him again, so that's concerning. If he's not back for the final series of the season, they're in some serious trouble. They already are, but it's even worse. When you're running Dubon out there, whoever, it's rough. It's really hard to score runs, guys. So please, Pena, get healthy. Get some treatment. Find a way back.
You know how tricky obliques are. I mean, he could – if
Dana Brown said it was a day or two, no problem.
Yeah,
I mean, he needs to stop doing that. He just makes himself look desperately, dopily optimistic, dishonest, or clueless.
Yeah, and that's really the part of trying to figure out which way that needle's really facing. Because I think when we talk about it, you know, Charlie, you make all the good points to point towards organizational missteps. And I think there's plenty of those to go around. I think, Charlie, you say all the time, it's a results-oriented business. So regardless of the right move at the time, it didn't work. And so now you're at a place to where organizational control of this guy doesn't even matter. And it's not like you've got a whole bunch of outfielders that are fighting for roster spots. So he's quickly become just another version of Chaz McCormick on this team.
It's the guy I left out earlier. They threw away a couple hundred plate appearances, 150 plate appearances on him. One other thing, guys, that we should include on this, there is an element of life cycle. Right, a hellaciously awesome 8-9 year stretch. And it's not like they turned into the Pirates or had a season like the Minnesota Twins. And there are exceptions, right? The Yankees, 33 straight winning seasons. Mentioned the Dodgers, 12th division title in 13 years. Hey, the tiny market Milwaukee Brewers are going to the playoffs for the 7th time in 8 years. But the San Francisco Giants won 3 World Series in 5 years, 2010, 2012, 2014. What have they done since? The Phillies have been a playoff perennial for a few years. Well, where were they for a few years between the Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins teams, the late 2000, the aughts, and 5-6 years ago, right? The Mets, large market team, hadn't been heard from for most of a decade until the last couple of years. So there is an element of the folks get spoiled. But when Jim Crane, the window will always be open under my leadership, and the farm system's in such sad shape, and the major league team now is just a halfway decent team. I mean, 30 and 39 over the last 69 games isn't even decent. But you add it all up, 85 and 74 isn't tragic, but it's closer to straight up mediocre than it is to elite.
Part of this debate online is people saying, well, you don't need wholesale changes. You just need your team to be healthy. But that's a fool's errand, because it's sports. Guys are going to get hurt, but you have to have organizational depth to be able to absorb some of those losses. And they just don't have any. They just don't have the depth. And hoping for health is not a good organizational plan, but it may be their best plan at this point, considering where they're at from a financial standpoint and from a farm system standpoint, which, I mean, I know it's asking a lot for Dana Brown to show up and then fix things miraculously, but the farm system really doesn't look like it has a whole bunch of stars that are developing in there, you know, and that kind of makes me want. So, you know, given the adversity that Houston's faced and all those injuries that we talked about, the Astros, like we said, are still mathematically in it. Looking at where they're at right now, is it a credit? Can you say that it's a credit to Houston's resilience that they're actually still in a position to where they can sneak into that last wild card spot? Or is that a failure that they're having to rely on sneaking into a last wild card spot, given that they had built this lead, but they just weren't able to hold it?
To me, I'm going to go to the failure just because of the way you performed against the Seattle Mariners and then how you performed against the Oakland A's or the A's, whatever you want to call them. These were the most important games, and they, for the most part, just didn't show up. The offense couldn't get a spark. And look, of course, the injuries matter. I just talked about Pena not being here and Yordan going down. Even though you have Paredes, you can tell he's playing on one leg right now. I know it's not all there right now, but we thought it was possible that they could at least win a game or two in the Mariners series. And it's just, they underperform. That's the bottom line. You can't play that poorly in your last 10 games of the season when it's that close and expect to move on. It's unfortunate, but they do have some good players on this team, guys. Correa and Altuve and Christian Walker has shown that he can be really good. He was last year, but they didn't show it at the end of the year. And some of these guys, they didn't show it over the entire season. And I'll go back to what Charlie said about Yiner Diaz. I mean, you got Caratini hitting cleanup in the biggest game of the year and Yiner Diaz on the bench. I mean, that's where they are right now, because Yiner's one of those guys, he just swings so wildly. It's getting him on base is tough because pitchers know. So it's across the board with this team. A lot of these guys regressed.
Yeah, Altuve turns 36 in May, and he really was not a good player this season. He was in there every day so he could rack up counting numbers, but when you look at the OPS, I mean, this is his worst season without argument, other than the short COVID season that was a mess. Going all the way back to before Jose Altuve became a good player. You know, we're talking all the way back to 2014. He doesn't project to improve much in his late 30s, and that's talking about his work in the batter's box before we get to defense and base running. I mean, Correa's all right. He just turned 31. And Correa has had four good seasons and four seasons in the last eight. That's $47 million per year on the Astros' books the next 3 years. And then another fourth year of $25 million more for Altuve when he's 39 years old. That is financially complicating, unless you're just going to say, damn the torpedoes and the budget, full speed ahead. I'm with Josh. Pass, fail, course, it's a fail. I'm not sure you should get credit for the quote where it originated. The standard is the standard. And all that the Astros have done 2017 through 2024, last year the run of ALCS appearances ended, but a division title before the Tigers dusted them in two games. Right? This is another year of regression unless all the tumblers click into place through the weekend. And you know what? If they get into two out of three, they have a shot, because anybody has a shot against anybody else in a two out of three, especially if somehow they stumble into getting there and they don't use Hunter Brown on 3 days rest Sunday and he's ready to go in game one in a two out of three. I think you'd roll with that happily if you're the Astros. They had a 7-game lead in July. I mean, there was all kinds of understandable tittering around here about the Mariners choking and giving it up and how they had a 10-game lead in June. Well, the Astros didn't have a 10-game lead, but they had that lead the next month of 7 games. And they weren't in the race with the Mariners going into the final week of the season after the Mariners came in here and clubbed them like baby seals. Sorry, Greenpeace. So if they're not in the playoffs, the season's a failure. And I think from Jim Crane on down within the Astros organization, they'd agree with that. Failure, not tragedy. Not that they're bottom of the barrel and they're doomed for the next 5 years. But they could be in a very tough spot because the Mariners organization's just in way better shape. Big league talent. Farm systems and utter mismatch in the Mariners' favor, and Seattle going to the postseason. If they make a run and their ownership is emboldened and they're getting this additional playoff revenue and they're projecting their attendance to jump a half million, and wow, our revenues could be up $40, $50 million next year. You know what? We're going to keep Josh Naylor. I'd let Suarez walk, but they go out and get another third baseman and choose to fortify their team, spending more money. The Mariners could own this division for a while, the way the Astros did most of the last decade.
And quickly, I just wanted to address something in the comments. They're like, what? Christian Walker's good. I'm saying he was good last season, good enough to get a huge contract and for most of us to be pretty excited about it when the season was starting. He has regressed. That's my point. Most of these guys have just not performed this year up to their abilities.
Maybe when Jim Crane says the window will always be open under his watch, maybe that means he'll sell the team, but be careful what you wish for. 4 World Series appearances, 2 rings. Now, Mario in the comments says it should have been 4 rings. I say 3. I don't know that 2021, they had the pitching to seal the deal there. Mario also comments, because he's been prolific in the comments here. He says, Espada isn't good. And I know that Joe's been taking it on the chin for especially this last final 2 months. I don't know who you want him to play. There aren't a lot of good options. It's wild that when you think about it, a month ago, we were talking about, or probably a month and a half ago, we were talking about Espada and AJ Hinch being 1-2 for manager of the year in the AL. And then both of their teams have just spiraled mightily in the final month. Final thoughts on this upcoming series before we're out the door?
Well, I guess for those who don't want to get a headache from doing the numbers, it's actually not that complicated. The Astros sweep. They need the Tigers and Guardians to lose 2 out of 3 this weekend. The Tigers are at the Red Sox. So the Red Sox would need to get swept or they close out the Astros. Everybody owns the tiebreaker over the Astros. So they need to sweep to have any sort of realistic shot. But if the Astros go 2-1 to get to 87 wins, if the Red Sox sweep the Tigers and the Texas Rangers with nothing to play for, DeGrom will not pitch in a series. But if the Rangers sweep the Cleveland Guardians, that is the way the Astros could get into the postseason if they only take 2 out of 3. In Anaheim, the Angels will be without probably their best all-around player, Zach Neto, their shortstop, their Pena. He's out injured. Yusei Kikuchi, I mean, not that he's Cy Young, but solid. He will not pitch in the series against the Astros. But if they sweep, they need the Red Sox to take 2 out of 3 from Detroit and the Rangers to take 2 out of 3 from Cleveland, or it's nighty night.
Yeah, it's not looking good, obviously, guys. And, you know, I think back too with Pena, if he doesn't hit that grand slam against the Mariners, like that game's not even close. So it's going to be tricky. They need a lot of help here. And I think, you know, guys, I'm a vibes guy, right? And that just the vibes of when you lose Yordan and after the Mariners series, you lose Pena. And then in the first game against the A's, that little pop fly that got dropped up in the infield in the first inning with Javier on the mound and Christian Walker not seeing it in the lights and Correa's trying to run over there and catch the ball and Javier's in his way. That just kind of told me, man, it doesn't feel like their year when you're dropping pop-ups in the infield in a must-win game. That just doesn't look like a team that's about to go on a run. I hope I'm wrong, but those are the vibes I'm feeling, guys.
Starting pitchers, the final series of the season. Jason Alexander, probably AJ Blueball on Saturday or an opener, and then AJ Blueball and Christian Javier. Doesn't inspire a whole bunch of confidence, but the Angels stink. They're playing out the string, and in the 3-game series, garbage can beat elite 3 times. 2019. Cole, Verlander, Cole, best 1-2 tandem in the game. Cincinnati Reds were terrible. The Astros would win 107 games that season. The lowly Reds swept the Astros in a 3-game series in which Verlander and Cole started 2 of the 3 games. Anything is possible, including the Astros being eliminated before it even gets to Sunday.
After they lost the 2nd game of the A series, I tweeted out that the Astros' golden era had concluded. And I can't say definitively that's for sure, but regardless of how this week plays out, it's worth reiterating that this has been a fun ride. It has been an amazing ride for this team to be as good as they've been for as long as they've been. And I'm not sure if an overhaul is coming or necessary, but it sure feels like a team that needs some changes and some very strategic parts. And I think, you know, the formula, it sure seems like the formula up to this point has been to just keep feeling around what was left of the championship team. That tech ain't going to cut it anymore. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts on apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Appreciate everyone for joining us for this live episode. For Josh and Charlie, I'm Brandon. So long. Have a great weekend. Go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.